Today we mark our national holiday to be celebrated tomorrow, that of Thanksgiving. And that often causes us to think back on the early Thanksgivings in the 1600s. President George Washington declared in 1789 that there should be a national day of Thanksgiving for our constitutional government. And other presidents since then have certainly declared certain days as national days of Thanksgiving. The present system that we have of choosing the fourth Thursday in November was established under the time of Abraham Lincoln during the time of the Civil War, when he called for special days of Thanksgiving, probably with hopes of uniting the country once again. Even though this is not a festival in the calendar of the church year, the Christian church, you could say, every Sunday that it gathers to worship is giving thanks to God for both spiritual, eternal, heavenly, and also temporal and earthly gifts. And even every Christian, as we bow to say our prayers at the table and so on, are always offering thanksgiving to God. But the church willingly adopted this special day as well as a time to focus on the earthly blessings that we have been given from the hand of God. In particular, today we do so with the thought of the blessings we receive through our nation and through the authorities that God has placed over us. The text before us is taken from Romans chapter 13, where we read this verse in verse 1. St. Paul writes by divine inspiration, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God." Thus far our text. About 16, 17 years ago, there was a hurricane that swept through the Caribbean. There was a small island with a population of about 10 or 15,000 people that was hit straight on by this hurricane. Because of the devastation that it caused, all communication was knocked out. There was no phone lines available. The local police department, it was reported, was flooded. And because of the inability of the authorities to get out and do anything, because they were so incapacitated, the population, many of the people, rushed to the stores and broke into them and began looting and stealing. One local store owner finally even resorted to grabbing a shotgun and going and sitting right up above the door of his store. I remember seeing that video. A local reporter went around in the days following the hurricane and started to interview people that had gone through this, which was pretty much everybody on the island. And he estimated that 80% of the population had been involved in looting. Just think of that, 80%. Of the population. The sinful nature inside of us really is amazing. How wicked it can be. And if it is left unchecked, if there are no boundaries or curbs to it, just think of all of the different places it would go. If we had no civil authorities in place to enforce laws and regulation, to punish and so on, If anarchy, if self-rule was the rule of the day, it would be absolutely disastrous. Just think for a minute what your car would look like in the parking lot if there was no civil authority or rules or laws to protect your property. Just think what the hinges on the door of your dorm room or apartment room would look like. If there was no punishment for violence and murder, just think what your face would look like. Just think what your body would feel like. How many women in this sanctuary would right now be pregnant if rape was just permitted to take place at the whim of anybody who wanted? If you're like me, it's easy for us sometimes to bicker and complain about our government and about that authority over us, and to complain about the high taxes we have to pay and how corrupt our politicians can often be. We often like to focus on the negative aspects and the mistakes of those in authority. And yet, if we really sit back and contemplate what a gift they are to us, we realize how they serve us in so many ways. The very roof that doesn't fall in on your head in our sanctuary has been inspected and approved by building codes. Just think every day of all the agencies of our government that touch our earthly lives. In every aspect, the food we eat, our health care, making sure that products that we buy are safe, buildings that we live in and work in and go to school in, likewise, are safe. The roads that we travel on, all of the different ways that these authorities benefit us. And Paul reminds us that they have been put into place by God. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. Not only has he established the office that they fill, but he has even established who will fill those offices. Now, earthly authority, in whatever form it takes, is not only established by God, but it has been put there for our benefit and for the good of mankind. Whether it's your parents, or your teacher, or your boss, or a police officer, or the president of our country, or a congressman, or even the meter maid, they're all there to serve us and for our benefit and our good. And when we really think about the gifts that we have in these United States and under the authorities that are above us, as imperfect as they are, we have to reflect on just how great it is, this country that we live in. Why is it that Mexican guards don't have to worry about people jumping over the border into their country? How many of us over this weekend will go out and try to build a raft and see if we can float to Cuba? There's a reason why people want to come here. And a lot of that has to do with the blessings we have received from God's hand through the established authorities. Democracy at times may be ugly, especially our democracy sometimes. C-SPAN isn't exactly the most exciting channel to watch. But at the same time, it truly is a blessing. And it's especially a blessing when we consider how through this protection and through the laws of our land, the gospel of Christ is so freely proclaimed among us. That really came home to me this summer. I was over in Ukraine, staying with a family that was part of a mission project over there. And in their local congregation, they had helped to set up in a nearby town sort of an orphanage for unwanted boys. And the pastor and some of the laymen from the congregation would weekly go over to this orphanage that had been established and teach them the Word of God and have devotions with them and bring the gospel to them. Well, the local city council was of another faith. They were of a faith that believed you get to heaven by your works and not by simply God's grace in Christ. And they stepped in and just shut down the program, just took it away. What a blessing we have in our country to have what we're doing right now be so freely protected. God would have us take all of the authority over us, and that we would look at them through the window of the cross. It's interesting where this text falls in the book of Romans. St. Paul has just gone through the entire process of laying out the beautiful plan of our salvation. That even though we don't deserve it, God in Christ has reconciled the world to himself. And now we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The ultimate authority that there will ever be, the authority of God Almighty, you and I, who could easily have been judged and condemned by him because of Christ, and through faith in him, we have freedom, we have peace, we have the hope of life in heaven. And God would have us now take and view all of the earthly authorities over us through the window of that precious cross. And in so doing, show them honor and respect as a way of also serving God and showing our gratitude to him. With that in mind, I invite you now to join me in the prayer of the church. Please take out your hymn books and turn to page 96. And I'm going to ask a very special privilege of you today as we go through the prayer of the church. And that is this. with all of the petitions that we bring before God, in your mind, I want you to as we pray them, think about the way that government has a hand in nearly everything we pray about, in some way, shape, or form, just to keep that in mind. Let us rise for prayer. Let us pray for the church and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son, through whom you have revealed your grace. We pray that you would plant your word in our hearts, that we may cling to it in faith and bear much fruit in well-doing. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear us in the truth of your salvation. Strengthen and defend your church, that by your word and sacraments, faith may grow and love toward all increase. Guide and protect all who spread abroad the light of your truth throughout the world. Bless the schools, colleges, and seminaries of the church, that they may send forth laborers to serve you in the ministry of your word, in the ministry of mercy, and in all godly walks of life. Let the light of your word shine continually in our homes. Keep the children of the church in the grace of their baptism, and grant that all entrusted with their care may bring them up in true faith and obedience to your will. Let all rejoice who trust in you. Let them shout for joy because you do. Guide and bless all lawful authority, especially our president, the Congress, and the governor and legislators of the state. Give them wisdom and sound judgment, that justice may prevail and wickedness be hindered and punished. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy. Lord, be our helper. We commend to your care all who are in trouble, want, sickness, or any other adversity, especially those who are suffering for your name and your truth. Comfort them, O God, with your Holy Spirit, that in all their afflictions they may acknowledge your fatherly will and rejoice in your gracious and speedy deliverance. O Lord, be with all in trouble. Hear their prayers to the honor of your name. Let your blessing rest on seed time and harvest, on commerce and industry, on medicine and science. Sanctify the arts and culture, the rest and leisure of your people. Protect all who travel, and care for all whose labor is difficult or dangerous. Bless all who in their daily calling endeavor to do your will, and give them the assurance that their work is pleasing in your sight. Blessed are you, O Lord, for you have not turned away from our prayer. This morning we especially give thanks to you for all the blessings of this land. We are grateful for the men and women who serve our country to protect and defend us, who serve and assist us, so that we may lead peaceful and productive lives to the glory of your name. Protect our bodies and souls from all harm and danger. Support us in our last hour with your mercy, and finally admit us into your eternal joy to love and serve you in the blessed company of your saints and angels forevermore. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them. Amen.